Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the every other Tuesday night open call. We're just getting started here, and we're going to see if we can have a little fun tonight, which we usually do, and talk about a few things. And I've got some really good news I'm going to be divulging tonight that's been a very, very long time coming. So we'll get started on that pretty soon here. Yeah. And it's got something to do with my favorite defendant.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're finally getting the ball rolling. And it's going to be really interesting. So, anyway, I hope everybody has had a good intervening couple of weeks. Weather has changed dramatically in my part of the country. A couple of weeks ago, we were still doing hot. And tomorrow night, we're supposed to freeze. I mean,
what
earlier.
What in the world?
This,
are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. We're supposed to be down to 30 tomorrow night. And earlier this month, we were in the 90s. I think we had one day that was 98. The heat just would not let go here. But boy, when it broke, get out of the way. We've had some cold days. But I actually got a picture from a friend of mine up in eastern Iowa today. She got up and she took a picture of the snow on her car in October.
That's like, crazy, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're not going to get snow here. They had 13 inches of snow up in the Texas Panhandle last weekend. So,
wow.
The weather is absolutely crazy, but we're waiting to get a few more bodies on the line here, but we've got Terry with us, and there's Sir John. He just popped onto the board, and I'm trying to unmute him, but we'll see if the board lets me do that. Doesn't seem to want to let me do that at this point. So, that's interesting. John
what?
Disappeared. That's why I couldn't unmute him. Okay.
Pretty good.
Well, we'll try it again here.
You hung up on me before.
I didn't hang up on you. Something hung up on you, but it wasn't me. I was trying to unmute you, and it was...
You know, Mr. Dave never makes a mistake and hangs up on you. You know this.
Never.
What's wrong with you?
No, I don't know how to hang up on somebody. Is that to click that X over there? I guess
you
if
don't.
I click that. I've never
done
that
either.
No.
No, I've never either.
See you guys, even
so
as much of a pain
you,
as some people could be, I don't know how to get rid of them.
I'm doing good. 3 weeks into it. Started physical therapy, you know, so I'm still alive. I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good then, man.
Yeah, actually 4 weeks on Thursday it'll be, so. And then I just have to, 2 more weeks, and they take the foam block out from under my arm. Still have to wear a sling, but, you know, I'll survive.
Right.
Well, it sounds like you're moving right along there, buddy.
I am. I'm doing the best
that's
I
good.
Can under the circumstances. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that
I know my buddy
has
to have
not real fun, a lot of fun, but
yeah, well, he just had to pull himself out of next year's entire fishing season. The muscle that comes around, there's a muscle that comes around from the back to the front of the shoulder.
Right,
he tore it. So he tore it from both ends. So, you know, the bicep side and then the back side. He's got two big balls back there where the muscle's balled up. And when they did the MRI, they said, your shoulder's completely destroyed. if you weren't only 50 years old, I'd, you know, give you a complete shoulder replacement.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Ed's like, kind of like I am. He says, wait a minute, what the hell's my age got to do with it? I need a replacement. I need a replacement. He says, well, you're only good for like 15 years. He says, well, I'm not going to make it to 65 or 70. So, you know, give me the shoulder replacement. So they're doing surgery on him on Tuesday.
Wow.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, they're pretty good at those things now, the total shoulder replacements.
Yeah, I think they are.
I think he's probably a good doctor.
We've got a gal up in Iowa that had a shoulder replacement that was drinking the water, and her surgeon said he had never seen anybody recover from a full shoulder like that. The speed of her recovery.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Just drinking the water. Helps heal because it gets oxygen and everything to the areas that have been, you know, sliced and diced and all that stuff.
Right.
Helps heal.
Well, that's about what I want to do.
I am headed into the house, guys.
Oh, well, very good. So Terry was going to be a little late making her way back, and she anticipated she'd be probably 6 or 8 minutes after, and she's right on the button.
Well, I was at my grandson's soccer game. They won. Boy, they creamed that other team. It was such a good game. But because they injured several other opposing team members, the game went a little longer than anticipated, you know. So I rode the motorcycle to the game, and so I had to just mute my Bluetooth inside my helmet, or otherwise it would have drowned out the call.
Yeah, really.
My husband's Harley was behind me, so it was noisy ride.
Yep.
Just a little bit.
Yep. Well, you know what I think we better do here is have Mr. Jesse do his patented disclaimer before we forget about it and get our butts in trouble.
I sure will. No worries. Anyway, guys, of course, you know, our call is a call meant to help you guys with some of the issues that you face. And by no means, again, should it be taken as any kind of legal advice. We're not attorneys. We don't purport to be attorneys, as a matter of fact. I don't know what that noise is, Dave, but it sounds like
Chewbacca. Yeah, I don't know. Terry, is that you making a lot of noise?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was my husband in the background.
There you go. Anyway, so, you know, we'll tell you how we would handle it and how we've handled ours in the past, but we cannot give you advice or tell you how to handle it. As a matter of fact, we actually suggest the opposite. Go seek an attorney. Go check one out if you need some help. And we can't help you for whatever reason. Go do it. But again, we are not attorneys. We don't give legal advice, and it should never be taken that way. So there's my patented disclosure. I think I've changed it around like 37 times. But that's all right. It's good. It's a good deal.
Well, that, each one gets patented, and that's all that matters.
Exactly. That's all that matters.
The main thing is, we don't know what legal advice is. I couldn't give it if my life depended on it. I mean, really?
No, that's the problem that I have. You know, I don't have that.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
It just,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Don't have a clue. Well, anyway, you know, we usually start out with good news, and I'll see. You know, Jesse, you got any good news for us?
No, I'm good, man. I'm good.
He made it halfway around the world and back. That's his good news.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. He had a long plane ride. Tell him where you went. Or don't you want
to? Oh, I went to China. Did we talk about this on our call already?
No. We didn't talk about you going again. You didn't mention it.
Oh,
yeah, Jesse was back over in
China
on business.
Yeah, I was
again.
In China.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked. I got to tell you, it's a long flight. Did I say it was a long flight?
Yeah, I think I heard that somewhere. But you made it over there and back. It was good while you were there, though, right?
Yeah. It was awesome.
Good.
Food was great. And people are great. We got a lot of new business stuff going, and it was pretty cool. I can't complain a bit, man. I can't complain a bit.
Just got to deal with that jet lag when you come back, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it worked out pretty good.
Good. Well, as John already mentioned, he's doing well after his surgery. John, have you got any other good news for us? Anything on the legal front on what you got cooking on the back burner?
I don't. It's just simmering on the back burner.
Boy, it ought to be interesting to see what your big case comes up with. They're sure taking their time coming to a decision, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and I'd had a discussion with the attorney about that. And he said, you know, when it's been in deliberation and this long, that probably indicates that there may be, you know, a favorable decision to you, but with a dissent. And
right,
many times with a big issue like this would be, you know, a matter of first impression, that they actually shop around amongst the rest of the judges. Or
right.
Feel it out for when it goes to an on-bank panel.
Mm-hmm.
They do all that ahead of time. So I said, oh, wow. You know.
Yeah, like, you know, when I was there, it was all three of those judges. They were all on point in sync on that S2P issue. And so it didn't take any time at all. You know, 11th had been waiting a long time for their chance at that, and there wasn't any dissent. They were all for it. So I agree, John, with that take on it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see when the decision comes out and see what happens afterwards. So,
eventually it'll happen.
Yeah.
Well,
you
got
to get it, John.
Yeah.
It's coming. It'll come out in your favor.
Yeah.
You watch.
I'm going to guess that's going to come before the end of the year.
But one of the big issues would be a ruling that says that credit reporting is debt collection. And that would, you know, that would be huge. So you can see where they want to look at it.
Yeah. Because I got a whole bunch of issues right behind it if they rule that way. A lot of avenues to go in, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know if you all get the emails, I think you do, from NCLC, but they had an interesting analysis for FDCPA practitioners under the Article 3, and it broke down each of the circuits independently and also the Supreme Court's decision. And the 11th Circuit, it's just like all you have to do is plead that there was a potential claim and you're good to go. Now, the decision that people rely on is an unpublished one, so they caution to make sure you plead your facts correctly so it doesn't open a can of worms and blow it for everyone else. But I thought that was interesting. You know, and going over the circuits that, you know, have issues with Article 3 standing, it shows how to overcome that. But if you haven't seen that, you need to subscribe to the little news blurbs that come out from NCLC.
Yep. Yeah, they've got a lot of good material they put out and that you can get.
Yeah,
it's free. It's free. It's not like you got to pay for it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's absolutely 100% free, so there's no, you know. It's a bunch of good stuff that's free, period. That's it. Real simple.
Yep.
Yeah. No complaints there. Well,
yeah.
I have a bit
free
of
good
news myself.
Good, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bit of good news myself. As most listeners know, I have been waiting with my TCPA cases against Midland, stuck in an MDL in California. It's 5.5 years. It was in spring of 14 that I started filing those cases. And
Okay.
It's been a mess. The MDL has not been run properly by the court. They allowed a second class action to be started after the first class action was settled. And
oh, wow.
A bunch of us opted out of that. Yeah, yeah. They allowed a second class action to start all over again.
Wow.
And that has been going on. But the latest development is we are finally moving forward with discovery after 5.5 years. And the problem that we have is it's tied together with the lead attorneys for the class action that's going now. We as individual plaintiffs that opted out of the original class that was all settled, they're paid, signed, sealed, delivered, and gone. We've had to sit and wait, and we have no what's known as liaison counsel to keep us informed of what's going on, and there were huge problems in the last year and a half with that, because the court wanted to have the class attorneys notify all of us that opted out of the first one. They said, hey, we're not getting paid for this. We don't represent them. We're not going to do it.
Nice.
Well, the court didn't do anything about it. The court didn't make them do it and didn't appoint anybody else to be liaison counsel. So that's been part of the real problem in this MDL. Well, I've had a witness waiting in the wings for a very long time, for years.
I know.
this witness is somebody, I can divulge a little bit of the material, and I'm not going to name names, but I'm going to divulge a little bit of the information. This individual worked for Encore in Midland in a upper-level management capacity.
High-level.
Yes. And quit because of the illegal activity there. And we know all about what he knows, and I know exactly where he is and have his contact information. This has been passed on to an attorney that is very aggressive with 14 plaintiffs in the MDL, and has now been forwarded on to the lead counsel for the class, along with all the information of when he worked there, what he knows. I mean, tons and tons and tons of information. And this was just done last week with my approval, because this information was provided to these other people with the agreement that anything that they did with the information had to go through me, and because I was the source of the information. So, and Terry and I were both involved in, Terry's the one that originally found the first shreds of this information, and I followed up and got far more documentation about it, but I'm not going to discuss any more about that. But Terry has been involved in this.
No, you can't, Dave. Yeah.
And the bottom line is, the next step is that the lead class counsel has to confer with Midland about setting this person for deposition. And of course, they're going to argue it, and they're not going to be able to get anywhere with it. So what I believe is going to happen by the 2nd of December, they have to do their filings. The lead attorney has to do the filings with the court and state why this person should be deposed, who he is, where he is, and his background. And to provide that information, there will be some attendant documents that will then be put on the public record in the MDL. So we're waiting to find out what goes on with that. I haven't heard any further information, but this information was passed on to the lead attorneys last week, and the lead attorney jumped all over it, needless to say, said, we're definitely in on this. We want this deposition. So we've got the lead attorneys in the class action that have got it. I turned over all the information I had to the attorney who passed it on to them. So the ball is rolling, and this, if you see a big mushroom cloud out on the west coast, it probably won't be a forest fire. It'll probably have something to do with Midland, because this is going to be very, very big, because this goes into very substantial illegal activity that there is a very credible witness to. So, anyway, that's
who,
my good news.
Has,
I'm going to say I'm pretty happy.
And that witness has hard evidence, etc. It's not just he said, she said. And Dave is right. It's extremely high-level, serious, felony-level criminal activity. So, and boy, Dave and I are so tired of keeping the duct tape on our mouths all these years.
Yeah, it's been a very long wait. The case isn't done yet, obviously, but this deal is going to be a huge game changer, and I can tell you from comments made by the Judge Denbin, who is handling the all the discovery in the MDL, that
right.
I was on a conference call hearing April of last year. Here, this has been a year and a half ago, where this stuff was supposedly going to be ramped up and moving very quickly. Well, here we are a year and a half later, and we're just starting to get going now. But that gives you an idea how fast this moves. But the judge then said there was a question raised by two attorneys that were on that conference call or in the courtroom about they were concerned with destruction of evidence. And Judge Denbin made a very terse statement in reply to that inquiry from the attorney. There better not be any problems with destruction of evidence, or there's going to be a real problem. Well, we have evidence of destruction of evidence. Very specific evidence of it.
I remember.
So anyway, it's going to be real interesting to see how this goes forward, but I can tell you there's a certain attorney in Pennsylvania that I turned this information over to who is very, very happy to have this moving forward, because he's got a bunch of clients with a lot of phone calls involved. So we'll just see how this goes forward, and I will keep everybody apprised as to what I can when I can. And if it hits the public record, we'll let everybody know, and then there's going to be other things that are going to be happening from that point forward as well.
Right. There will come a time when we're just really going to be having a party around here. And Dave and I can't wait for that time to come. And it's not going to be far off. So it's really excellent news, and I'm so happy to hear it.
You know something, though?
Yep.
After all this conversation that we've had, John made a particular comment that I thought had been ruled on quite some time ago, which is debt or reporting is an attempt to collect a debt. That's your first attempt to collect a debt.
That's right.
By a circuit court.
There's district
at
level,
federal
but not
court
circuit level. Yeah.
Okay, one at a time, guys.
District court level rulings in FDCPA on that. There are quite a few, but it has not been dealt with at the circuit court level.
Okay.
Because you need to understand, once that's done, that puts the CRA under a whole nother level of
I know
of
that. Absolutely.
In regard to areas of the FCRA, which we, up until now, have not delved into. And there are a couple of really big ones. So, you know, I haven't talked about it because the groundwork wasn't laid to really take that fight on yet. But once that's established at the circuit court level, oh, whole new game ball.
Okay. Wow. Well,
awesome, John.
Are we having fun yet?
Yeah, that's
okay, everybody. Yeah,
it's all
yeah, there's interesting stuff going on, and I'd love to see John's decision come down pretty quick. It's been quite a while, and I would venture a guess that we're probably going to see something in his case by the end of the year. I doubt that they would let that go into another year, but you know, I may be wrong. Find out. Yeah.
I
mean, yeah. As long as you get a favorable decision, it could come out a year and a half from now, huh?
That's fine
pretty much.
With me.
That's exactly it. Yeah. But you know, we will see. It's there's some interesting stuff going on out here in the background, everybody. So it's coming to the forefront, you know, for me, and you know, sometime probably not real far down the line for John as well. So we'll keep you guys apprised of what's going on, but. I guess we have covered our good news, unless anybody else had something they wanted to mention. But otherwise, if anybody has got any good news for us, hit the one key on the keypad in your phone. That'll put you in the queue. We'll take your good news. In fact, let's just go ahead and blend good news in with Q&A. If anybody has got questions for us tonight, or good news, either one. I mean, we love good news. And we love the questions, too, because that's why we're here, to try and help you, give you some guidance based on our experience. You know, we don't give legal advice, but we'll try and give you the best guidance we can on where you might want to go if we don't have an answer for you. And that's the way we do things. So with that said, the one key on your keypad, don't wait until I say, well, that's all the people that have their hands up. I guess we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. Get yourself in the queue now. People got a bad habit of doing that. So let's go to 603. You have been unmuted for your good news or your question.
Good evening. This
good
is
evening.
Sheila from New Hampshire.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Jesse.
Hello.
Jesse, I have a question about the mortgage audit, securitization audit.
Yeah.
I have not heard anybody mention that they got one for a HELOC. Is that appropriate as well?
Yeah. No, it's not.
They
can't do it for a HELOC, no, because a HELOC is not a mortgage per se, right?
Yeah.
It's an extension of credit. It's a credit line, so
right.
You cannot there's nothing there. But they did securitize them. They did sell them for pennies on the dollar. You know, they monetized everything. There's no doubt about it. But, again, it's such a different animal that, you know, we made it a rule not take anybody's money for something that can't be properly.
Yeah. Okay. I figured that was the reason why I haven't heard anybody ever mention it on the call or talk about it with you. So, okay.
Yeah, you just
all
can't
right.
do it. It's terrible, but it is what it is.
It is. I mean, the mortgage, the note was never recorded. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
But
there never is on a HELOC.
I didn't think
so. Regular mortgage it is. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
On a HELOC, what they do is they file a lien, right, in the amount of XYZ mm-hmm. and the contract itself, because the HELOC's a contract, really not a – the mortgage and note's all in one.
Mm-hmm.
So they will do that, but that's about it. There's not really a, per se, a note
okay.
or something that they, you know, file. There's nothing there. The note is the mortgage and the note all at the same time.
Right, right, right. Well, when I pulled
all mine
have
given up. So I've paid out of theirs. I haven't paid any of them in 10 years, and they've all given up. Literally.
Yeah.
And how many? I forgot, John. Remember last year I had 3 or 4 completely release them?
Yeah.
Just like whatever. You remember Chase was one and Iberia Bank was another. I think it was 3.
Yep.
And they just gave up. SunTrust was one. And they just said, here, we're not going to fight it no more. Have a good day. We're out of here.
They're better to get it off the books. It takes too much effort otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
well,
they've got
to find
there's
no value to
attorney.
Having it. You know?
They got to find a debt collector attorney to do it, and they give up after a couple of tries.
Yeah.
Can't shake that
and
tree.
Since mine are all over, they're all over 5 years old, so on the HELOC, there's really nothing they can do about it. It's not a mortgage.
Right.
Well, you're saying that because of your statute of limitations in Florida?
That's everywhere.
Yeah.
The statute of limitation is sometimes a little bit better than Florida's 5 years.
Yeah, it's 3 years here in New Hampshire.
Yeah,
but they're
saying, I was going to say, some places have it better.
But they're claiming that because real estate backs it up, it's good for 20 years. That's what they're saying.
How does real estate back it up when loans try to foreclose?
Pardon?
Let's see how good you really. Let's see how good it is. Try to foreclose.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. That's this company that I was dealing with, that I am currently dealing with. That's a. They call themselves a note buyer. It's not a bank. So.
Yeah,
anyway.
I know exactly what they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what they do.
Right.
Interesting.
And they submitted a copy of a note, which I don't even have. I don't know where they got it. They must have gotten it from Aquin. And, I mean, the copy is really illegible. There's a stamp on the I can't read it. It's just, I don't know if they whited out the center of it. It's, I can't even tell. There's no endorsement from to type of thing. And anyway, so I was just wondering about the securitization audits, if those are also done on HELOCs. I must have missed that when you mentioned it before, that those are not something that is done. So, okay. Thank you.
All right.
All righty. Thank you. All right. We are going to go to 832. 832, you're unmuted for your question or good news.
Hello?
Hello, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question in regards to, I guess, the credit pulls. I want to say last time I called in, I asked and I was a little bit confused. I guess my question is, let's say, for instance, the so-called debt buy purchases or places the account on the credit on the credit report at the same time that they actually made inquiry. Would that still be sufficient to still be able to go after them?
Okay.
Terry?
Because I know she said something along the lines that if it's done after, then it would be, I guess that's
okay.
When it would constitute a violation, but if it's simultaneously done
the
same date.
If you know the credit, if the credit pull was
mm-hmm.
done on the same date and you know for a fact that was the date of the sale to the debt buyer, I would leave it alone because that would be up to the court's discretion on who they believe. Well, we pulled it just before we signed it. You can't prove they didn't.
Okay. I see. I guess my next question is in regards to, I guess, information that a debt buyer may have posted on the, I guess, Securities and Exchange Commission website. Would those be sufficient to, I guess, use as evidence without it just being constituted as hearsay?
It's evidence.
What are you
of
talking
what?
About?
Yeah. Like, for instance, like, I'm trying to prove that this particular debt collection company is working simultaneously with other companies as a single enterprise. Like how like Midland and Encore operate.
Oh, you mean the corporate structure that Midland
right.
Funding is a wholly owned subsidiary and Midland Credit Management is another wholly owned subsidiary, blah, blah, blah. Yes, their SE filings is acceptable evidence because they do state in there that they are.
Okay, I guess now my question to that is, I guess this particular entity that I'm talking about, I think the name of the company is JH Capital, but I guess they were supposed to be doing like some type of merger with another company called Eastley Acquisitions, but it ultimately got terminated. So will those files, I guess, even though they didn't continue to post any more documentation on SEC, could I still be able to use that, even though it's still there?
Well, not if the acquisition and merger did not complete, you wouldn't have a leg to stand on because they would have documentation to show that at the time of the filing, that was the corporate plan, that was, you know, what was going on, but it was subsequently halted for whatever reason, and they could prove it. So no, I would not go there because you know that it didn't happen.
I mean, like, when I say, like, because I guess before they were doing the merger, I guess they kind of showed or made a disclosure of the company before they merged, and you're saying even that in itself was still not.
If they disclosed it, but
yeah,
they weren't actually merged and acquired.
I guess they were just talking about what the company is about before they actually.
Okay, now follow me on this.
Okay.
If it was the company, the other company, not them, okay, the other company that created the violation, they have the liability for it. And at the time that the violation occurred, that other company was being acquired or merged or whatever, in what way, with this debt buyer. And that intent was disclosed. But then the deal fell through. Well, the new company that did not acquire or merge with them is not liable for what they did.
That doesn't erase
their liability, though.
Oh, okay. So you're saying it doesn't erase? I guess what you what you're saying is the fact that they made a violation and it was, I guess, in the workings of trying to merge and it didn't go through. Whatever information that they provided I guess, was it a proxy statement? It would still be.
It depends on what the violation. What is the violation? Where is it? What constitutes the violation, and who did it?
I want to say it was. It's JHPD, finance. They basically sued me in the wrong venue. And state court.
Okay.
So right now.
And they were at the time the company that was acquiring or the company that was being merged?
They were at the time was the company being okay, because I mentioned briefly, I talked about JH Capital. They are a subsidiary of JH Capital. And JH Capital was trying to merge with Easterly Acquisitions. But I'm not
trying to tie
them into this.
If it was JH Capital who sued you in the wrong venue,
That was JHPD. It was JHPD that was
Or JHPD,
yeah,
okay, whichever one it was that sued you in the wrong venue.
Right.
They are the ones that violated, not anybody else that might have been looking to take them over. But if they had a parent company at the time.
Yeah, which was JHPD. Okay,
if they had a parent company at the time, and the parent company's sole purpose is debt collection, it's like you look at Encore Capital, they're not in the business to do anything else but collect alleged defaulted debt, all right? So, therefore, they are responsible for the actions of any of their wholly owned subsidiaries. Well, the same would be true. So you have to ascertain what is the principal, meaning more than 50% of their business purpose. And if it's debt collection, then, yeah, they're liable too.
Okay. Okay. Now, I guess, forgive me if I'm, not asking the question the right way, but when I saw that, I said, okay, now I think I have something. But well, I guess I tried to look up, financial statements that they filed with the Secretary of State. It's almost as if the JH Capital was like the sole member of another entity called JH Something Holdings LLC, and that in turn was a sole member of JH Portfolio Debt Equities LLC, which was a managing member of JHPDE. So would I be able to get all those people, or just only the parent?
Okay, it depends on the actual structure. Now, follow me here. Encore Capital Group is a parent company, okay? Uh-huh. It owns, among others, like it owns Jefferson Capital, it owns Asset Management now, but mainly it owns Midland Funding, LLC, which is a holding company, a paperless entity. That is the entity that makes the purchases of defaulted debt portfolios. Then there is Midland Credit Management, which is the collection subsidiary arm that collects the debt for Midland Funding LLC. But Encore Capital Group, its sole principal purpose of business model is the acquisition and collection of defaulted debt. That makes Encore Capital Group absolutely responsible for all its redheaded stepchildren. But then, too, you have the middle person, the middle entity, Midland Funding LLC, which, remember I said, is an employee-less paper entity, LLC. However, that is a defendant. And then under them is MCM, the Midland Credit Management, and they're the ones that actually perpetrate the violations. But their parent is Midland Funding, and Midland Funding's parent is Encore Capital, whose principal purpose of business is the acquisition and collection of the funds. So you can see the clear path from the child to the grandparent, and they're all liable. So you have to know your structure exactly how they're connected, what purpose they serve, when you're going from the bottom one, which is the grandchild, you know, the one who actually violated you, and mm-hmm. then the parent, and then the grandparent, and maybe the great-grandparent, it depends on the actual structure and what each level's purpose is, so that you can show the chain of responsibility.
Okay.
You're probably going to have to determine that through discovery.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I had one last question, and I'll get off. I want to go back to the stuff pertaining to that FCRA. I know you said that it wouldn't be wise to even try to deal with a situation whereby the so-called debt purchaser purchases the accounts. I guess simultaneously when they actually make.
Yeah, because you know, I can tell you exactly how it happens. They purchase the portfolio, and then it gets fed into Robbie the robot, their internal computer system. Robbie's first task is to analyze the spreadsheet data that is fed into Robbie, and the first thing that Robbie does is he goes in, this is the computer, Robbie, he goes in and he identifies every line item in the purchase spreadsheets that contain enough information such as social security number, name, address, etc., because not all of them do. Sometimes it's really, you know, only fragmented. And then out pops a big long list. It might be 2,000 or 3,000 line items, and each line item is supposedly a debt account, okay? And then Robbie automatically orders credit pulls on one or more of the CRAs to determine the whole point for that is so that Robbie can analyze and pare the list down some more. And so it goes over to the CRA, and let's say 3,000 credit reports get sent to Robbie. That's on the day of the purchase, you know. So then Robbie sorts through it again and picks out the ones that look like the low-hanging fruit, the easiest to collect on. And that gets sent for active, immediate collection efforts. And a number of them will just be like tier two level low-hanging fruit. And all they'll do is start reporting on that person's credit report. So all of this stuff happens between Robbie Robot and the CRA's polyparrot robot, and they're just talking to each other back and forth on that day. Well, most likely that credit pull that shows up on that date, let's say that date is October 1st, and it shows up in the credit report that there was a credit pull by that entity on credit first, or October 1st, and you know that the sale was October 1st, 99% chance it was done by Robbie Robot after the sale, because Robbie didn't have that information until the sale. But if you try to litigate on that, their claim is going to be, well, that credit pull was done in the morning, and the purchase of the accounts wasn't until late afternoon. And since you can't prove they're lying, the court's going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I see. Now, okay, but what if they do another pull after that? Will that be suffice as a violation, or would it just be treated as any? Oh, okay.
No, because they've gotten away. They think they can just get away with it. And Boykin, was it Judge Boykin's words? They've been doing it for so long, they think it's legal. You know, and literally for 40 years, they've been pulling crap like that. And they really think they can do it. And they've pulled the wool over the court's eyes so many times that the courts are like, yeah, well, they have a business purpose. No, they don't. That was before the 40 years, Doc, and the FTC clearly nailed it down as to when a debt buyer does have a permissible purpose, and the CFPB is now backing that up. So maybe they had the right on October 1st, because maybe they did it before the purchase. But if you know and you can prove that the purchase took place on October 1st, and they pulled the credit report on October 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, or whenever, then that pull is impermissible.
I see. Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. I appreciate your help.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good day.
All right.
You too.
You have a good day as well. Thank you. Okay, we got that squared away. We got another hand up here, and I'm going to tell everybody, I'm calling on the last person that's got a hand up here, and if you've got a question for us, you better be hitting the one key on the keypad in your phone, putting yourself in the queue, or we'll just wrap things up and you won't get your question in. So with that said, let's go to 816. 816, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
This is Michelle. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I hit the wrong button. That's all going on. I was moving things, getting in my car, and I hit the one button. I didn't mean to. I didn't know how to unmute my unmute.
Oh, okay. So you don't have anything to tell us tonight? Other than
yeah.
That you hit the wrong button?
Well, I didn't. Not really. I mean, it's been a couple of years to get back to where I can breathe again after the illegal foreclosure. And so I signed up the other day because I have been documenting every phone call, and Synchrony Bank alone had almost 600 phone calls in the last 3 months. Walmart, there was almost 200 calls. Ability Recovery, and this is all in the last few months. And I documented all of it.
Boy.
And so the first thing I got time to do was get on the website, sign up, because, of course, 3 years ago when they did the illegal foreclosure, I was out of money and everything trying to save the house. And then I filed a quo warranto complaint in the court. I got it filed in the court on the house, and 3 days later they tore the entire house down, all the gardens, all the trees, and it's bare land, pulled up the post office box, the postal box, and it doesn't even exist. The address does not even exist anymore on the, but I saved everything. I saved the checks they mailed back uncashed. And after 3 checks that they didn't cash for my mortgage, then that did make me late for the first time ever. I was never late. I never missed a payment. And then they quit cashing my checks, which threw me into foreclosure. But I did get that quo warranto complaint filed in the court, and now I know more about how to deal with it, because that complaint is $42 million and 30 years in prison for the judge. And then there's about 5 or 6 other quo warranto complaints behind that, but I haven't filed those, and that's okay. But these phone calls, back when I lost the house, I was never late, never missed a payment, like I said, and they were calling me 10 times a day. And when I went to and asked for the proof, they said, well, that's part of discovery, and we won't give you your call, incoming calls, unless it's on discovery. And I was at such a loss, I couldn't pursue it legally or any of that stuff. So, and I did not hit the one to say any of this, because I was able to save the house for 9 months because of your documentation. But, you know, when you're new at this, then pretty soon they just will cross a T or dot an I that you don't realize. And when I got back on your website a couple of nights ago, I really appreciate how it's organized now, so that I can just go right in and get the documents and listen to the calls and webinars, and it's much time wise, it's much easier for me because I still drive for a living, and so I'm on the road a lot, but not as much as I was 4 years ago when they did that on the house. But that's all.
Well, good for you. You're pushing on, and you're doing what you need to do. Congratulations.
Exactly.
You know, you didn't just throw up your hands and go hide in the corner and, you know, do something like that.
Right.
You're fighting back. Good.
Yeah, and now I knew where to go, and it took me almost 2 weeks to find the time, the 15 minutes to sign back up, because the credit card companies are whacking out now and on, it's just bizarre. And my credit score goes up and down and up and down, and that all had to do with a couple of accidents in the last 3 years also, and God, and I was insured and everything, but because of your information, this last accident where somebody totaled my car, I sent a letter to the CEO and the CFO of Wells Fargo Dealer Services, and get this, they got Zurich because I was highly insured, and Zurich said, well, you drive too much, we're not going to cover you, and I sent a letter to Wells Fargo, that CEO and that CFO, and they not only got every, because State Farm, of the person that hit me, they took care of $9,800 of the mortgage on the car. But Zurich said they weren't going to, and guess what? I got an email from Zurich saying, yeah, we've zeroed out the balance on your car, because that is what gap insurance is for. And that just happened in August. So that was because you all are teaching the right stuff, and I wasn't even a member when I sent that. I just remembered, go after the CEO and the CFO, and I'm doing that with a bunch of other stuff on cards. Because of that same accident, I had to live on credit for the last year until the settlement on the wreck came in 4 weeks ago. And So you all are solid. And you know it. You don't need me to say it. But I'm glad that this resource and what you've built is available.
Well, thank you. There's a reason why we've been around almost 10 years. You know, what can I say?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've really been through the mill with your stuff. And like I say, congratulations. You're not giving up. You're fighting back. And that's what people got to learn to do.
Yeah. And you scrape it together and you get it together and you just keep moving. And my biggest issue was making the time to do this stuff. And what I learned finally here in the last year since the last wreck, I learned I just have to create the time.
You have to make the time. Yeah, you have to make the time to help yourself.
Yep. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that was interesting. Boy, she's
it's inspiring.
Yeah, she's been on quite a road, and she's not giving it up. She's fighting back, and, you know, we love to hear that. We absolutely love to hear that because that's why we're here, everybody. Now, I don't see another hand up, so if somebody has got a question, you better put the one key right down on your phone right now so it puts you in the queue so we can take your question or hear about your good news, whatever it is you got. But if we don't have anybody that does that, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up for tonight. You know, if we don't have any more questions, then we'll go about doing what we've got to do.
Yeah,
and
I've got things to do.
And all of us do. And I'm not seeing any hands, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. Want to thank everybody for joining us. We do have a webinar tomorrow, and I believe Mr. Jesse is going to be handling foreclosure questions at 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow afternoon for the members.
That's
so
right.
If you've got foreclosure questions, do it.
Yeah, if you're not going to be there and asking questions, that webinar will be all of 5 minutes. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm just telling you that's the way it's got to be because we have very, very, very busy schedules, all of us do. So it has to be this way. And I don't want to sound short, but last time I did the webinar, it was that way. And a little frustrating to put the time and energy to get in there and then nobody asks any questions. So, with that being said, Dave, is that all we have for the evening?
That's all we've got. Just remember, next week there'll be no Tuesday call because this is every other week. We do have Terry's call this Thursday night, as usual, at 8 o'clock. If you're not on Terry's email list to get those reminders, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Just say, please put me on the list, and she'll send a reminder out to you one time. You got to write the information down.
And make sure you do it tonight or tomorrow, because if you wait until Thursday, chances are you're not going to get it before the Thursday call, because I do have a life. I don't live in my email during my call or just before it. It's just a free chance when I happen to have to go in there for something. So don't wait till the last minute, because you might not get added to the list and get the call info before Thursday's call. Do it tonight or tomorrow.
Right. And if nothing else, it's just courtesy. So
yeah,
that's all we got. Jesse, all yours to wrap it up.
Oh, just God bless everybody. Have a great week, and see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. John, I'm glad you're doing better, buddy.
Thank you.
And Dave, again, thanks for hosting. You know, we love you, buddy, and we can't do it without you, man. You guys have a terrific night, and have a great week. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
3 o'clock.
Yep.
Good night, all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.